Okay. Patriarchs and, oh, I just hit this. I hit the green thing there. Okay. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 499, chapter 46, titled The Blessings and the Curses, and this chapter is based on Joshua chapter 8. And thank you for being here on WTPR. After the execution of the sentence upon Achan, I guess that's the way to say it, Joshua was commanded to marshal all the men of war and again against Ai. The power of God was with his people, and they were soon in possession of the city. Achan? Okay, Achan. Yeah, yeah. Okay. When you see it, when you know it in your mind, and you've heard the name, but then when you see it in type, you want to say it differently. I don't know. But yeah, Achan. Military operations, she says, she goes on to say that military operations were now suspended, that all Israel might engage in a solemn religious service. The people were eager to obtain a settlement in Canaan. As yet, they had not homes or lands for their families. And in order to gain these, they must drive out the Canaanites. But this important work must be deferred, for a higher duty demanded their first attention. And that's some of the things we got to remember too. I have to remember a lot of times myself. I'll be busy, 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 working on articles or working on a video or working on whatever the case may be, here sitting at the computer, and all of a sudden my little alarm comes up telling me it is time for midday prayer. And I'll push it off 7 minutes or another 7, you know, because I got a 7 minute thing, or I can make it 15 minutes or 12 days if I want, but I just leave it at the default of 7 minutes. And I usually, you know, I'll go a couple, three times, and that's it. I just got to stop what I'm doing and go spend time with my Lord, because that's a higher duty to be, you know, to be in his presence and to pray. And especially the midday prayer for me, that is, I mean, I like the morning prayer, the evening prayer, but for some reason, the midday prayer, it's just, because, you know, you're in the day and there's things happening and you got to ask his advice or you thank him or whatever the case may be. But it's always important to be there because he's there. You know? And I got to have a little alarm pop up to warn me, because I'll forget. I'll get so busy, I'll just plain forget. So, but anyway, continuing, before taking possession of their inheritance, they must renew their covenant of loyalty to God. In the last instructions of Moses, direction had been twice given for a convocation of the tribes upon Mounts Abel and Gerizim at Shechem for the solemn recognition of the law of God. In obedience to these injunctions, the whole people, not only men, but the women and the little ones and strangers that were conversant among them, left their camp at Gilgal and marched through the country of their enemies to the vale of Shechem near the center of the land. Though surrounded by unconquered foes, they were safe under the protection of God as long as they were faithful to him. See, there's the prerequisite. A lot of us have a hard time understanding. And especially when I'm doing the street preaching, I'll run across somebody that's having a rough go in life, and they don't believe that God will do this, or they don't believe that God will do that. I says, well, if you give him a chance, if you actually start walking with him, getting close to him, you'll see his hand move, and you'll realize how important it is to be faithful to him, because he does give peace. Sure, we're still going to have the trials like everybody else, but like I always say, echo, echo, we Christians handle the trials with smiles, because we know he's in control. We know we need to get slapped upside the head once in a while, because we're going off the beaten path, and that beaten path heading towards him. I don't want to say it's beaten because of the world stepping on it. I'd rather think the angels and the patriarchs stepped before, you know, those who trust him, and that's the path I want to be on. Continuing, now as in the days of Jacob, the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, Genesis 35, verse 5, and the Hebrews were unmolested. And this is, see the way she's talking, where she goes, now as in the days of Jacob, and now right away a Bible verse starts off. That's how I wrote the track that I'm going to share tomorrow. That's what I was talking about earlier. And so, and that's the way I wanted to write it, so that it just, boom, 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 it just throws the scriptures in there. And because a lot of people, when you have the scripture, because I have a couple of spots where I stop and I show the scripture when I'm explaining something. But I've noticed this, even in my early walk as a Christian, when you write tracts or whatever, or when you read them, you'll read what the preacher has to say, and a lot of times the person will go right over the Bible verse and go right and continue on what the preacher has to say. But if the Bible verse is incorporated in the sentence, they've got no choice but to read it. So it's a tricky way to get them right into it, you know. I won't say tricky, but it's a neat way to do it. And, you know, you learn a lot from this prophet, you know, Ellen White, the way she does this, because it just, you know, it's just amazing. And when you're writing it, it's just amazing the way the Lord takes over, because all of a sudden verses are popping all over the place, and I didn't think I'd be able to finish it, because I actually, you know, should have spent a little bit more time. That's why I'm saying it's a rough draft. Yes, go, yeah, not a problem, Lee. Yeah, yes, you can. I don't know if she heard me, but I'm sure she did. Okay, she did, she heard me. Okay, continuing. The place appointed for the solemn service was one already sacred from its associations with the history of their fathers. It was here that Abraham raised his first altar to Jehovah in the land of Canaan. Here, both Abraham and Jacob had pitched their tents. Here, the latter bought the field in which the tribes were to bury the body of Joseph. Here also was the well that Jacob had dug, and the oak under which he had buried the idolatrous images of his household. Let me scroll up. The spot chosen was one of the most beautiful in all Palestine, and worthy to be the theater where this grand and impressive scene was to be enacted. The lovely valley, its green fields dotted with olive groves, watered with brooks from living fountains, and gemmed with wild, I like the way she says that, gemmed with wild flowers, spread out invitingly between the barren hills. Well, can you just see that picture in your mind? It's like heaven on earth. It's just beautiful. Ebal and Gerizim upon opposite sides of the valley nearly approach each other, their lower spurs seeming to form a natural pulpit. Every word spoken on one being distinctly audible on the other, while the mountainsides receding afford space for a vast assemblage. It's almost like those outdoor theaters that they have, the way they design it. I'm picturing in my mind, it's like set up to where, because Jesus did it like with the Sermon on the Mount, one of the reasons he was on the Mount. The voice will carry, and you can get a lot more people to hear. They didn't have megaphones in them days. They would take advantage of nature. Oop, okay, well, bye. See you, Chrissy. She has to get off that lightning. She's on dial-up, and I wouldn't trust dial-up either. Not a lot of search protectors there on your phone lines. All right, continuing. According to the directions given by Moses, a monument of great stones was erected upon Mount Ebal. This reminds me. Remember the stones, the 12 stones that Joshua was told to put in the midst of the Jordan when they crossed over on their way to Jericho? Found a picture, because I was doing a study the other day in regards to all the stuff that Stephen was saying before they stoned him, and I'm still not done with it. I started that, reading it verse by verse about a week and a half ago, and I'm trying to get every single verse, what he's talking about, highlighted in the Old Testament to bring it back over to, you know, the cross-reference. And I found a picture on the internet. Those stones are still there. Now, the river has, of course, receded since, but it's really neat the way they show this picture, and I don't know. I got it on the hard drive. I didn't put it on the internet, though. But it's really cool the way those stones are still there. But continuing. Upon these stones, previously prepared by a covering of plaster, the law was inscribed. Not only the 10 precepts spoken from Sinai, engraved on the tables of stone, but the laws communicated to Moses, you know, the ceremonial laws that Colossians chapter 2 talks about have been done away with at the cross, and by him, Moses, written in a book. See, the Ten Commandments are inside the ark, and the law contained in ordinances was outside of the ark. I believe it was on like a leather pouch. But continuing, beside this monument was built an altar of unhewn stone upon which sacrifices were offered unto the Lord. The fact that the altar was set up on Mount Ebal, the mountain upon which the curse was put, was significant, denoting that because of their transgressions of God's law, Israel had justly incurred his wrath, and that it would be at once visited, but for the atonement of Christ, represented by the altar of sacrifice. And I'll stop there. Thank you, Brother Chris.
I figure I'll let you jump out there and do what you want to do. This seems to be a pretty short one. I'm sure Bonnie will spirit up another one for us. Okay, to continue, six of the tribes of all all descendants from Leah and Rachel were stationed upon Mount Gerizim, while those that descended from the handmaidens, together with Reuben and Zebulun, took their position on Ebal, the priests with the ark occupying the valley between them. Silence was proclaimed by the sound of the signal trumpet. And then, in the deep stillness and in the presence of this vast assembly, Joshua, standing beside the sacred ark, read the blessings that were to follow obedience to God's law. All the tribes on Gerizim responded by Amen. He then read the curses, and the tribes on Ebal in a like manner gave their assent. Thousands upon thousands of voices uniting as the voice of one man in solemn response. Following this came the reading of the law of God together with the statutes and judgments that had been delivered to them by Moses. Israel had received the law directly from the mouth of God at Sinai, and its sacred precepts written by his own hand were still preserved in the ark. Now it had been again written where all could read it. All had the privilege of seeing for themselves the conditions of the covenant under which they were to hold possession of Canaan. All were to signify their acceptance of the terms of the covenant and give their assent to the blessings or curses for its observance or neglect. The law is not only written upon the memorial stones, but was read by Joshua himself in the hearing of all Israel. It had not been many weeks since Moses gave the whole book of Deuteronomy in discourses to the people, yet now Joshua read the law again. You know, just something that's in that paragraph that, you know, Bonnie put in the room earlier about obeying, you know, trust and obeying the Lord. And most people seem to have a problem with the obey part. You know, there's a lot of people that profess to have faith in Christ. I know a whole bunch of folks who call themselves Christian. And a lot of them really do have a lot of faith, but they don't obey the law. And you got to do both. And there is, according to this, what we just read here, there is a blessing for keeping the law. There's a blessing for having faith. And there's a curse for not keeping the law and for not having faith. And, I mean, you know, how can you read this kind of stuff and not get it? I don't understand. And Satan has got a whole bunch of folks buffaloed, is all I can say, because it's plain English. And it's written in the Bible. It's written in Ellen White here. You know, it's written in Deuteronomy, man. Go read it. Just all you got to do is go read it. And I don't know. Anyway, like I said, I guess that's it. They don't want to give up on self. That was something that showed up in the room. Oh, well, to continue. It's mind-boggling to me, man. I mean, like I said, once I started seeking the truth, and I was a Sunday keeper, and for a long time I was a nothing keeper. I was in the world and did a number of things that, well, anyway. But once I started asking the Lord, there had to be a Lord, and I knew that, and there had to be some truth. And once I started searching for it and reading the Bible, it just kept coming and coming and coming. I actually had to pray to him one time, say, slow down, hold it, let me assimilate what you have given me in the last 3 days before you lay some more stuff on me, man. I'm just getting the Sabbath down, and now you're talking to me about pork and pork chops and things? Like, wait a minute, hold on. Okay, here we go. Not alone. This is continuing here, and I'll quit talking. Not alone all the men of Israel, but all the women, the little ones, listened to the reading of the law, for it was important that they also should know and do their duty. God had commanded Israel concerning his statutes, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as faultless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Every seventh year, the whole law was to be read in the assembly of all Israel, as Moses commanded. At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, which was all when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And that's from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13. Satan is ever at work, endeavoring to pervert what God has spoken, to blind the mind and darken the understanding, and thus lead men into sin. This is why the Lord is so explicit, making his requirements so very plain that none need error. God is constantly seeking to draw men close under his protection, that Satan may not practice his cruel, deceptive power upon them. He has consented to speak to them with his own voice, to write with his own hand the living oracles. And these blessed words, all instinct with life and luminous with truth, are committed to men as a perfect guide. Because Satan is so ready to catch away the mind and divert the affections from the Lord's promises and requirements, and there it is again, promises and requirements, blessings, curses, there's always two. It's always hand in hand. There's the light side and the dark side. The greater diligence is needed to fix them in the mind and impress them upon the heart. Greater attention should be given by religious leaders to instructing the people in the facts and lessons of Bible history and the warnings and requirements of the Lord. These should be presented in simple language, adapted to the comprehension of children. It should be a part of the work both of ministers and parents to see that the young are instructed in the Scriptures. Parents can and should interest their children in the varied knowledge found in the sacred pages. But if they would interest their sons and daughters in the Word of God, they must be interested in it themselves. They must be familiar with His teachings, and as God commanded Israel, speak it when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 11, verse 19. Those who desire their children to love and reverence God must talk of His goodness, His majesty, and His power as revealed in His Word and in the works of creation. Every chapter and every verse of the Bible is a communion from God to man. We should bind its precepts as a sign upon our hands and as frontlets between our eyes. If studied and obeyed, it would lead God's people as the Israelites were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And that concludes this particular part of the study.